As many of you have heard, on November 27th, we will begin using a new translation of the Roman Missal, that is, the words we use in the Mass. And if you've been here the last couple weeks at Christ the King, you know that we've already began to talk about this. We talk first about the need to prepare, that you only get out of Mass what you put into it. And that is your preparation. So come early and stay late. Read the scriptures beforehand, dress your best, and fast in order to prepare adequately to receive God in this Mass. Last week, we addressed five changes in the response that you give to the priest throughout the Mass, that when he says, "The Lord be with you," you will say, "Ah, and with your spirit." And we talked about some of the reasons why that's important last week. If you didn't hear that homily, you're welcome to find it online. This change will take place in five areas of the Mass: in the greeting, the gospel, the preface, the sign of peace, and the final blessing. And this week I'd like to talk to you about two more parts of the Mass that will change and what they mean. And that is the penitential rite and the Gloria. Both of these are part of what we call the introductory rites to the Mass. There are four parts to the Mass. Number one, the introductory rites. Number two, the liturgy of the Word. Three, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And four, the concluding rites. So we gear up. We have the Word, the Eucharist, and we wrap it up. Those are your four parts of the Mass. And last week, we began to talk about the introductory rite because the first words out of the priest's mouth is, "The Lord be with you," and you will respond,
"And with your spirit."
And that is what we call the greeting. And then the priest immediately moves into what we call the penitential rite. And what this is meant to be is kind of like a mini confession. A little mini confession. And then we move to the Gloria, where we praise God, and the opening prayer. This is the conclusion of the introductory rite. In the penitential rite, before we do anything else at Mass, before we give Him any worship, before we hear His word, before we receive Him in the Eucharist, it is important that we first recognize our need for Him. I am convinced that many of you and many Christians are not fervent in their faith. And many people have fallen away from the faith because they don't really have a need for God. I mean, if you don't need God, why have Him in your life? It's like anything else in the world. We need food, we experience the need for food, we get thirsty, we experience the thirst, but do we experience a need for God? And it is when we recognize our sin that we see most our need for a Savior. I'd like you to pull out these cards in your pew. It says the people's response for the Holy Mass. And you'll notice on the front there the penitential act, as it's called. And I like, you'll notice the words that have changed are in red, so that you can kind of be aware of those. And I'd like for us to recite this penitential act together. Together, "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God." So you'll see there's not a whole lot of difference, and it's essentially a reorganizing. Before, when we said that we had sinned, we'd follow it up right away by saying, "through my own fault." But we are actually saying through my fault, through my fault, through my grievous fault to all of that, that it's not just my fault that I've sinned, but it's my fault that I've allowed Satan into my thoughts, into my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. That's all my fault. You may notice this change in the wording that says that I have greatly sinned. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, maybe you, Father and Matt, but not me. It comes from the Latin adverb nemus, which means very much. And if we were to just stick that right in there, we'd say, I have very much sinned, which would sound a little weird in English. So it's changed to greatly. And it is an allusion to the second part where we say, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Recognizing, brothers and sisters, that every time we sin, we slam the door in God's face. We slam the door on His love. We reject Him and we reject His plan. Now, of course, some are bigger than others. But probably not one of us could stand up here today and say that we have never grievously sinned. You'll also notice there the instruction to strike the breast. The breast, of course, referring to the chest in general. And usually we strike right over our heart to remember that it is not just a physical act, but something of a spiritual one too. The heart representing a love relationship, you guys. A love relationship that has been damaged. And this comes, as I said last week, many of our changes are to more closely tie us back to the scriptural origins of the Mass. And this comes from Luke 18, where a tax collector comes to Jesus begging mercy, striking his breast. We also participate in that tax collector's plea for mercy. And we repeat things that are important, don't we? Parents, when you tell your child to do something, if you really want them to do it, you repeat it a couple times, don't you? And we do the same with God because of the importance and the need to receive His mercy. To the extent, guys, that we recognize our deprivation, we recognize the need for God. And if we don't have a need for God, then what are we doing here? This penitential rite absolves your venial sins. A lot of people say, well, Father, doesn't receiving Holy Communion absolve my venial sins? Well, yes. But because we have began the Mass with this examination of conscience, confession of our sin, and the absolution of the priest, what does that remind you of? Confession, right, guys? You call to mind your sins, you confess your sins to God, and the priest gives you absolution, which I do at the beginning of Mass. And a lot of people won't say, well, I remember growing up, people would always ask the old Irish priest, well, Father, when can I get to Mass and still have gone to Mass? You know? And some of that, you know, your kid has an accident on the way out the door, what do you do? Well, I don't know the best answer to that. I would think that if we wanted to be here, we'd be here for the whole thing. But if we're not here for the penitential rite to confess our sins to God, to cleanse ourselves as preparation for communion, then we really have no business going to communion. The second part is the Gloria. After we've recognized our need for God and then received His mercy, then it is appropriate for us to respond in praise of him. Thank you, God. Thank you for the mercy you've shown me. Thank you for saving me from my sins. And this is done by reciting or singing or praying together the Gloria, which comes straight from Luke 2, where on the night of Jesus' birth, the shepherds go out, and what do they see in the sky but a whole host of angels, and they hear them singing glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. I'd like you to pull out those cards again and turn to the second page where it says Gloria. And let us recite together this new wording, this new translation for the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son. Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father. You take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Gloria, as I said, stems from the revelation of the angels in Luke 2, but it was expanded upon, as you can see, because the only words in Scripture are glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men of goodwill. But the early church, through the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century, thought, you know what, this is a wonderful beginning of a wonderful prayer of praise to God. So let's expand on it and make this into a full-fledged prayer or a hymn of praise that we can sing together. And by the 4th century, you guys, we have the first written copy of this prayer, the Gloria. When you pray it at Mass, when you sing it at Mass, you are praising God with the early church. You're praising with God with Christians from the 4th century, the 3rd century, the 2nd century, and from the time of Jesus. And it's important for us to recognize that we are one, and that the church of that time is the same of the church today. In it, you'll notice some of the wording changes. One of them comes from the Latin term filii unigeniti. Filii is the word for son. Some of you who maybe know other languages, there's similar words in Spanish and whatnot. Uni, as in uni, U-N-I, as you all know, means one. And genite means origin. Think of the words genesis or gender or generate. It means origin. So what this word means is that the Son, and this is used in reference to Jesus Christ, that the Son is of the same origin as God the Father. And you might say, well, duh, but this was a big deal in the early church. This guy comes and starts working miracles. And remember, if you put yourself in the shoes of an early Jew, you're a monotheist. You believe in one God. Yet you got this guy standing in front of you who says, I'm the Son of God and I am equal to him. All of a sudden, it appears that you have two gods. And this is why so many people rejected the message of Jesus Christ. And many people still struggle with this today. This is not just an old issue. How can Jesus Christ be God, the Father be God, and the Holy Spirit be God all at the same time? This Holy Trinity. What we used to say was only Son of the Father in reference to Jesus. But that, of course, could mean anything about who Jesus was. So now we use a more exact term, only begotten Son. Begotten meaning that he comes from the same substance, and that substance is divinity. You'll also notice in the Gloria that there is now a threefold reference to have mercy on us, asking God for mercy, thus connecting the Gloria with what we've just said in the penitential rite, making it more of a unified prayer instead of these just separate things that we do. Lastly, you'll notice one word. It's about to the bottom of the page. It's in red. It says sins. Well, what did it say before? Well, it said sin, singular. But the word sin can be used to refer to sin as a whole. This one little letter reveals a great deal to us. Jesus did indeed die for all sin to be remitted. But brothers and sisters, more importantly, he died for your sins, each and every one of them. The time you cheated on the test, the time you didn't clean up your room when your parents told you to, the time you cheated on your spouse, the time that you sinned, each and every one of them, Jesus forgives. And so this one little change reminds us that Jesus has died for each and every one of those sins, that each one of them was laid upon him on that cross. And what a beautiful gift that is. Today I ask you to join me in this Mass in, number one, thanking God for his mercy, and number two, glorifying him for what he has done in forgiving us for each one of our sins.